It's now time for our Bible reading, and yeah, Claire will be bringing that to us. Yeah.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
The Bible reading can be found on page 328. It's taken from 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 3 and then from verses 17 to 25. David's song of praise. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my saviour. From violent people you save me." And verse 17. "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight." This is the word of the Lord.
And now Mike can come and explain that all to us.
Morning. Morning. Do keep 2 Samuel 22 open. And as ever, we need God's help, don't we, as we come to his word. So let's pray. And Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak truly to us. But not just truly, but in ways that we need to hear as well. And we pray, Lord, as we hear you speak from 2 Samuel 22 this morning, be at work in our hearts and minds. So we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ all the more. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, making comparisons between people can be fraught with problems, but sometimes it can be helpful. If I was watching a kid's football game and I was to say to you, "God, that centre forward today, he's a little David Beckham," I suspect you wouldn't be thinking tattoos and a global brand. You'd be thinking a sweet right foot and a very talented football player. Or if I was to say that Caris is going to be the next Mary Berry, you'd be probably thinking delicious cakes and not a white fluffy hairdo. I think Caris would be hoping for that anyway. Comparisons, they can force us to compare and contrast, to focus on some things, but then to wonder about the more unusual possibilities as well. Well, as we come to 2 Samuel 22 today, that's what God is doing. He's doing a compare and contrast for us. As God compares and contrasts his eternal king with King David. Like David Beckham and Mary Berry, there'll be some things which are similar, but some things which are also different as well, and are there to make us pause. I think, how does that work? So our first point today, God's eternal king has God as his safe place. God's eternal king has God as his safe place. Please look with me at verses 2 and 3. Verse 2. "And he said, 'The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge and my saviour. From violent people you save me.'" David here, he's piling up the metaphors. Rock, fortress, shield, horn, stronghold, refuge again, salvation, saviour. This is a place of utter safety. Actually, it's not a place, is it? It's a person of utter safety. A child's safe place isn't their bedroom or the lounge. It's in the arms of their mum or their dad or their grandma or whatever. It's a person. Well, for God's king, he finds safety in God. Now, that might sound obvious. Surely God's king should find safety in God. But the king prior to King David didn't. King David didn't even himself. And many of the kings that came after King David didn't find safety in God. There were many kings. But there was many ways in King David, there was many ways that King David did find safety in God as well. Time and again, as Saul tried to hunt down King David and to take his life, David put himself into God's hands. He could have killed King Saul. He had opportunities, but he didn't. David's safe place was in God. But then remember, we're supposed to compare this part of David's character with God's forever king. And this is pretty amazing because Jesus, the Son of God himself, fully divine, his safe place is in God the Father. And time he lived this out. When he was verbally or physically attacked, he didn't panic or flee. Jesus knew his safe place was in with God the Father. Even when he was wrongly convicted and put on the cross and hung there, he submitted himself to the Father's will. His safe place was in God the Father. Yes, it hurt, but it was manageable because he put himself in his Father's arms. And this is exactly the type of king that God's people need. A king who doesn't try to do everything in their own strength, but instead finds safety in God. And if that's good enough for King Jesus, I hope it's good enough for us as well. But there's more comparisons here to be made as well. And secondly, God's eternal king cries out to God. Cries out to God. Please look with me at verse 4. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirl about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. Very simply, David calls out to God. In the midst of distress and destruction and facing the possibility of death itself. And here's the thing. It's not as if King David was telling God something that God didn't already know. It wasn't as if God was a bit confused what was happening to David, and David told him, he was like, phew, now I know. God knew. He wasn't caught off guard. David just calls out. Because God's king needs to ask. He needs to pray. And God the Father, he loves to hear the prayers of his king, to respond to the prayers of his king. And it was good for David as well to verbalize his distress to the Lord, to say, God, I need you, I need your help. And yet again, this is exactly the type of king that God's people need. David is an imperfect example of the perfect King Jesus, who called out to God. Jesus knows, even though he is God himself, that he needs to chat things through with his heavenly Father. It demonstrates in a very real way his utter reliance on God the Father. It reveals a living relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And that's the king we wonderfully have. Jesus, he's not flying solo. But with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, they work together. He even works for us. Next, God's eternal king is equipped by God. Please look with me at verse 33. We didn't read this earlier. We're having a shorter service today, so that's why we didn't read the whole chapter. Verse 33. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my ways secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. God's king knows that it is God working through him. See, God made David strong. God made David's feet fast. God made David good with the sword, skilled in battle. And it would have been so easy for David to think, I put all those early morning runs in. I spent the hours in the training yard getting better. As you can tell, I'm a natural fencer, can't you? getting better with a sword. And David would have done some work. But he knew that those gifts, those skills, came from the Lord, from God himself. And that makes such a difference, especially for all of us, but especially in a leader. But a leader who knows they're good enough, if you have one leader who knows they're really good, and you compare that with another leader who humbly points to their gifts coming from God, that makes a world of difference in their attitude, how they relate to us, how they lead. And again, we see this perfectly in Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God himself, God's eternal King. But as you read the Gospels, there's no sense of him being too big for his boots or anything like that. Instead, what do we see time and time again? Humility. And even though he led the apostles, it wasn't done from a position, or perhaps more importantly, with an attitude that he was top dog. It was with an utter reliance on God the Father. It's a form of leadership that works, but more importantly, is absolutely beautiful to serve under. God's eternal King is equipped by God. And then lastly, God's eternal King is righteous before God. Please look with me at verse 21. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. Now it's at this point where it all gets a little bit awkward. Because if you know anything about David, he definitely was not righteous before the Lord. As we've seen previously, he's an adulterer, he's a murderer. So we start thinking, why does David say verses 21 to 28, which is all about how God blesses the righteous and how he is righteous? Well, there's a number of possible answers to this. It's possible that he wrote this chapter, this psalm actually, which is also Psalm 18. It's possible that he wrote it before he committed adultery and murder and those types of things. Before that, he wasn't sinless, but it was before the really big things happened. It's possible that when he talks about cleansiness here, he's talking about the cleansiness that God gives to David. David was a sinner who was made clean by God. So that's another possibility. Another possibility is that David here isn't claiming to be sinless, but he is talking about his general direction in life. That at his heart, he longed to be faithful to God, even though he messed up. And I don't know about you, but any real or man or woman of God knows about that reality. And as we sort of toy with this, I'm not sure actually God wants us to come up with a nice, neat answer. I think the ambiguity in the text is there to make us stop short and think, David the king was a sinner, and what we really need is a king who isn't a sinner. It's to make us chew it over. A king. We need a king who we can utterly trust, because he will never have a selfish motive or divided loyalties or bad old-fashioned pride colouring his actions and decisions. I don't know if you've tried to wipe it from your memory, but you remember the last Tory government and the serious problems they had with Partygate, or the obvious lies about eye tests in the north of England. And Labour were right to point those things out. But now Labour are in power, and what do we have? tax avoidance, people lying about relationship with criminals. The list goes on and on. Whether we agree with the government's decisions or not, it's so difficult to trust them because so often power to varying degrees corrupts. Why are they doing it? But that's not true for Jesus. He is perfectly righteous. And therefore, whether we understand Jesus' decisions or not, whether we even sometimes, let's be honest, like them or not, we can know with absolute certainty they will always be for God's glory and for the good of his people. It's fantastic news that God's eternal King is totally righteous before God. And therefore, as we just done our quick fly through, it's a shorter sermon this morning because of the shorter service. But it's a chapter that it looks like it's all about David. The good and the bad. But it's actually a chapter to help us push forward to look to King Jesus. And not just in some, he's not just perfect in some abstract way. If you are a Christian here today, Jesus is your perfect King. And that is brilliant. It's reassuring. As in the craziness of life, we have a King who is worth following and worshipping. We have a King who has people like you and me in his hands. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the life of King David. Father, thank you that in lots of ways he was faithful to you and was a great king in so many ways, but he was also a sinner. But even whether it's in the good or the bad, he was still pointing us forward to your eternal King, to King Jesus. Thank you for showing us in that human form in David what we would expect to find in Jesus, what we do find in Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of, yes, worshipping and knowing, but serving a perfect and eternal King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.